There is help and power in the Spirit, in the Spirit.
As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, number 176, Majesty, Worship His Majesty. Two times through. Thank you for remaining standing. Let us affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. And we had a video, but unfortunately, it had to be subtitled because the people speaking are from India, and the subtitles are too small to be able to see much further past about Sharon and David here. So I'll just tell you about it. India as a country is starting to grow as far as Christianity is concerned, much like really that whole side of the world. And as comes with growth, persecution has come. There has been a group that for a while now has been trying to use political power to force everybody in India to be Hindu. India is, of course, primarily Hindu anyway, but it does have other faiths. And so these groups have said, well, we don't need these other faiths for India to be India. We all need to be Indian. Therefore, we all need to be Hindu. And they've been forcing people to be Hindu. So there's a lot of persecution over there. And the video concerned a family that was living in a city, really just a small town in rural India, who this town doesn't have plumbing. They have a well, essentially. And they were barred from access to the well because they were Christians. They're the only Christians in town. So some groups came to help them out and actually gave them indoor plumbing. So they were like the first house in the place to have indoor plumbing. So pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are persecuted, especially those who are in India. And over here on this bulletin board, there's a couple of pamphlets about the persecuted church, and there's also a, I don't know what you call it, guidelines, I guess, for writing letters to those who are persecuted, letters of encouragement and those kinds of things. And it tells you what to say, what not to say, those kinds of things. And if you would like to write a letter, I know they would love to have it. And you can bring it by the office and I'll make sure it gets where it needs to go. So, but keep our brothers and sisters all around the world, but especially those being persecuted, in your prayers. Also, please keep my father-in-law in your prayers. He's going to have an MRI just to check up on him, but I haven't heard when it's going to be. Have you heard yet? On when? Okay, so on October 3rd, he'll have an MRI just to check up on him, make sure that everything's going okay. So keep him in your prayers, if you will. And also keep me in your prayers. I've hurt my, well, years ago, I hurt my back and my shoulder, and today's the day they decided to sing in unison. So keep me in your prayers, if you will. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share?
I'd like to ask you all to remove my, I had asked for prayer for a friend of mine that had heart surgery last Friday. She passed away Friday night, so I'd like you to remove the family of Karen Griffin.
Okay. And that reminds me, old friend, high school friend of Liliana's godmother, Melissa, some of you have met her, her grandfather just passed away. And besides obviously losing your grandfather, her grandfather was the only member of her family that really had anything to do with her. The rest of the family, for no really good reason, just to sort of cast her aside. So just pray for her during this difficult time, if you will. Her name is Emily, so. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt, with your help, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Today, Lord, we want to pray for the family of Karen Griffin. We pray for them during this time of mourning, that you would be there to comfort them, to mourn with them. Help them, Lord, to draw closer to one another as a family, to draw closer to you. May you be with them during this time and during the mourning process for all of them. We all mourn at different paces and in different ways, and we pray that you would be in the midst of all of their mourning. May you turn their mourning into gladness. Lord, we also pray the same for Emily. Help her, Lord, to deal with the grief of losing her grandfather, as well as with the grief of being shunned by her family. May you work in their hearts whatever's going on, whatever their reason is, whether it's a good reason, not a good reason, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that there would be peace, that there would be reconciliation, that you would draw all of them closer together as a family, that you would draw all of them to Christ. Lord, we also pray for Larry as he has to go for this MRI at the beginning of October. May you be with him and with Linda and with all of the situation that they're in. Help Larry to recover and help them both to enjoy their retirement and to not have to continue to go to doctor's appointments and things like that, but to just enjoy their retirement together. And Lord, for our persecuted brothers and sisters, may you be with them. I believe it was Saint Irenaeus that said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. That's just one way, Lord, that your kingdom is upside down from this world system that we live in. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the growth of your church in the midst of persecution. We thank you, Lord, for our relative lack of persecution. We thank you, Lord, for their faith. We pray that you would be with them and that you would remind us that as blessed as we are called to help our brothers and sisters all around the world, but especially those who are persecuted. May you be with your church. We pray all these things in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, if our children would like to come forward, we will have our children's time. Good morning, Liliana.
Good morning.
I have something special for y'all. Anybody know what these are? What's this?
Papa.
What is that?
A penny.
A penny? Here you go, Liam. You can have a penny. Here you go, Liliana. You can add that to your massive collection of pennies. So, how much is a penny worth? Do either of you know? 1 cent? Exactly. What can you buy with a penny? You used to be able to buy candy with a penny.
Yeah.
You really did. They used to have candy called penny candy, and you could buy candy with a penny. Nowadays, the only thing you can really do with a penny is help round out the tax, really. But Jesus encountered a lady, and all she had was a penny. And Jesus was at the temple, according to the story, and there was a place where you gave money to help with the upkeep of the temple and to pay the priests and that kind of stuff, right? And all these people were given all kinds of money. They were given $20 bills and $100 bills and $50 bills, and some of them were given $1,000 bills. We don't really have $1,000 bills anymore, but they used to. And I am giving you a penny. And then this widow comes up. Now, back then, widows were very poor people. And this widow came up, and she had a penny. And she put it in this box where they got their offering. And Jesus was amazed. He said, "This lady has given more money than everybody else, but all she gave was a penny." I see. I have an address emergency here. But Jesus said, she gave more because she gave everything that she had to give and trusted God. And they just gave to make people impressed with them. Jesus would rather that we give a little bit in the eyes of people with a lot of faith than a lot in the eyes of people just to impress other people. And so I'll give y'all each another penny. Here's you another penny, Liam. Here's you another one, Lily. I'm going to keep one for myself. And let's pray that God will help us to give, not to impress people, but just out of faith that God will take care of us no matter what. Let's say a prayer, okay? Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for the story of the widow and her one little penny. May you help us to be faithful, just as she was faithful. We thank you for children, for all the children who are here, for all the children who are represented by those who are here, and all the children everywhere in the world. We pray that you bless them all, and that you help us to have childlike faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Oh boy, I get a baby doll. All right, y'all can go to children's church. We could have our ushers come forth. This time we'll worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, we ask that you would remind us that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, and may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing as we sing our next hymn, number 463, Lord, Speak to Me. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we will enjoy a musical selection from Clayton and the choir. Thank you, choir, and thank you, Clayton. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. John records Jesus' words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, but I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. This past week, when I was doing sermon preparation and such, I read a story, and it's reported to be a true story. I thought I'd share it with all of you. The story is that there was this husband and wife, and they were kind of rough people. They had both grown up in sort of a rough area. They came together, they got married, and they still spent a lot of time kind of skirting the edges of the law, if you will. And one day they got invited to church. They decided to go to church. They went, and after going for a little bit, they decided to become Christians. And so they were young Christians, baby Christians, as we might call them. And the pastor one day was preaching a sermon on tithing. And he said, if you just give 10%, watch what God will do. God will bless you so much if you just give 10% of your income. And so they said, you know, we should try that. We're young Christians. We should start doing some spiritual disciplines. Let's try doing that. So they started to do it with their regular income, and nothing really happened. They said, well, maybe we should take our side business that we have and tithe that money. Let's see what happens if we tithe that money. So they do, and it was just like an explosion of blessing, right? Each week that they tithed their 10%, their income just kept increasing. It would double every week. So after a few months, they were like, man, this is the greatest thing ever, right? We could probably quit our regular jobs and just do this. God is really blessing this business of ours. So they went to the pastor and they said, Pastor, you won't believe it, but you know, you preached on tithing a couple months ago, and we decided that we were gonna do some tithing. And we did it on our regular income, and it didn't really do anything, but then we have a business that we do on the side, and we started tithing that, and it just exploded. And the pastor said, well, praise the Lord. And they said, yeah, now we're the biggest marijuana dealers in the entire county. And of course, the pastor's like, wait a minute. No. Our apostle today is Philip. This is an artist's rendition of Philip. He probably didn't look like that, but, you know, it's good enough for our purposes. As you see, Philip is holding the cross, and he's looking heavenward towards Jesus. Philip is usually called the apostle of order or the apostle of details, because when we see Philip, a lot of times that's what he's concerned with. At the feeding of the 5,000, which we've mentioned during this sermon series on the disciples, Philip's the one who says, you know, he confers with Judas and he says, I mean, we got 80 days wages, but we can't feed all these people on that. Philip is very interested in the minutiae. He's interested in facts. He's interested in what he can see. Philip struggles sometimes with faith, especially with radical faith. Philip is the guy that keeps the dreamers grounded. He's the guy that dreamers don't like because he keeps them grounded. But he keeps the dreamers from burning everything down because he reminds them that if you build a fire, you probably need a fire extinguisher, right? Just in case. But what I like to think of Philip as is Philip is the apostle of the hard heads. He's the dense apostle. And I get that from this passage in John. Jesus is having the Last Supper. He's talking to the disciples. He's comforting the disciples, telling them the Holy Spirit will come, believe in God, bad things are going to happen, but don't worry, God is with you. And he gets into this part, and he starts talking about how he's going to be crucified, and where he says, where I'm going, you can't follow, but I'll come back for you. And Thomas says, where are you going? We don't know how to get there. And so Jesus gives this famous line that that we have all probably heard, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And nobody knows the Father, but now you know the Father. You've seen the Father. And here comes Philip. Just show us the Father, Lord. And that'll be enough. That'll be sufficient. Just show us the Father. Now, the writers of Holy Scripture, especially of the Gospel, don't always give us a lot of detail like we're used to in novels and things like that that we partake of in our stories today. But knowing how people are, I have a feeling that whenever Philip said this, Jesus did something like this. Philip, seriously, I've been with you for 3.5 years. Surely you're not this dense. Surely you haven't been sitting around here for 3.5 years trying to figure all this stuff out. And when I say stuff that should be obvious, you go, oh Lord, just show us the Father and it will be enough. Many of you in here are former educators, current educators, or are educated. And so you've probably heard at some point in your life this thing, it was really popular a few years back, about how there's no such thing as a stupid question, right? You've probably heard this. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Every question is an opportunity to learn. Well, when I was in high school, the church I went to at the time, there was an English teacher. She was a middle school English teacher, and she could not stand that. She said, there is such a thing as a stupid question. There are lots of stupid questions, right? It doesn't mean you shouldn't ask questions, but sometimes you ask questions that aren't, if you had thought about it for a second, you wouldn't have asked the question, right? And she said, for instance, the other week, I went to my uncle's funeral. I was out of class for about a week because we had to go to the Midwest. And so, of course, I had a substitute. And I came back the next week, and the kids said, Miss Childs, we really missed you. Where were you? And she said, oh, had to go out to the Midwest. My uncle's funeral was out there, and we had to go. And everybody says, oh, I'm so sorry. And this one kid, and she said she could see it in his face. You know, sometimes you get to know people, and you go, oh, no, here it comes. And he goes, did he die? That's kind of a stupid question. I mean, you know, it's, and of course, if you knew Miss Childs, you knew that she was a very sarcastic, witty lady. And she said, no, we were just practicing because he's getting close. That kid is like the Philip of her class. He's the dense one. He means well. He wants to do what he's supposed to do. But somewhere between here and here, something doesn't quite add up. But the beauty of that is this. When you look at the disciples, they're all a little bit dense, you know? They were all with Jesus for 3.5 years. Yet Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Peter denied him 3 times. After he was resurrected, Thomas said, hey, look, unless I see the nail prints and touch his side, you guys can talk with this resurrection nonsense till you're, you know, blue in the face. I'm not going to believe. But Jesus didn't call them when they were ready. He didn't call them when they had it all figured out. Jesus' only requirement to every single one of the disciples was, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we see 3.5 years later, especially with Philip, his requirement was still, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to understand everything. It took Jesus 3.5 years, death, resurrection, and the Holy Spirit to get 12 to 15 people mobilized into a group that would actually accomplish something. And we think if we don't have growth immediately, whether for ourselves, for our organization, whatever, that we failed. To quote Jesus, the student is not greater than the teacher. If it took Jesus all that, if it took the disciples all that, guess what? We don't have to have it all figured out either. Brothers and sisters, the only thing that Jesus asks from us is to follow him. You ever followed somebody in a car? You know, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to go over to this place that you've never been to. Don't worry, just follow me. And you get behind that guy who it's like, he runs through every yellow light, so you're stopped at the red light. He goes flying down the road. He's going like 90 miles an hour in a 35, and you're sitting here going, if I was doing this, the police would be all over me. But, you know, and of course, that's what you're worried about, so you're trying to drive like you won't get pulled over. I had that happen to me one time. This guy said, oh yeah, follow me. He disappeared. I don't know where he went. I have no idea where he went. I put my GPS on because I knew the address of the church. I didn't realize that the GPS was set to not go on highways, so I wound up off in the sticks somewhere in northern Tennessee. But I was following people that were more interested in getting there or following their programming than whether or not I was there. Jesus spent 3.5 years looking back. The cross was in front of him. But he kept looking back because he cared that the people were following. That's why Philip can be an apostle, because it's not dependent upon whether or not Philip understands that Jesus is the physical image of God. He'll get there. Tradition says that Philip was crucified on a very tall cross. And the symbolism is that Philip was raised up above everyone, and he was crucified, and he preached as he was dying about Jesus, so that at the end of his life, Philip was still pointing people towards Jesus. Philip figured it out, but it took 3.5 years, death, resurrection, and the Holy Spirit to even get him on the right road. You don't have to know everything. You can be confused by the Trinity. You can be confused by the book of Revelation. You can be confused by things. You can be confused about how God's omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence work together with justice and mercy and love and all these things. You can be confused. You can question. You cannot understand everything. And that's okay. Because a guy like Philip, all he did was, Jesus said, come and follow me. And he followed Jesus. And everybody who came behind him, he said, I don't know where we're going. But Jesus knows. And he doesn't run through red lights and drive 90 miles an hour in 35 and get you lost. Jesus goes to the Father. And he cares that you come with him. So all you have to do is follow. And the rest of it will be taken care of. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, that we can follow Jesus. Remind us, Lord, we don't have to have everything together. We don't have to be perfect. We are perfected in Christ. Help us, Lord, to simply follow Christ, trusting that He knows where we're going and that He cares that we get there. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our final hymn, number 170. Oh, how I love Jesus. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you follow Jesus. Let Him worry about the path. You worry about who you follow. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.
The presence, the exodus is